And now, with your Bibles open to the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, I admit tonight that I hate to see the book of the Revelation come to a close. Really felt like that Jesus might come while we were still in it, and he might yet. He could come at any moment. For you see, the coming of Christ is imminent. And that simply means that event could happen momentarily, right now, at any given time, at any moment. Jesus may come. In the 21st chapter, we have already seen this morning in our message on the new heaven and the new earth something of those things that God has in store for the believer. The happiest people in all the world tonight should be the Christian people, for we have the greatest hope, the brightest future, the most wonderful promises of any people in all the world. I hope tonight that we'll never lose sight of what our status and our position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have far more tonight than we could ever begin to list or name. We have so much in the Lord Jesus that it would be impossible if we had 1,000 years to expound upon it, to cover all of the glories that the Christian has to look forward to in the Lord Jesus. But tonight, my message, God's heavenly city. I shall begin reading in verse 9 of the 21st chapter, and I shall read through verse 5 of chapter 22. There is not to be found anywhere a more beautiful passage of Scripture than this. And we shall read it after we pause in a moment of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, as our Bibles are opened before us, we need Thee, and we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of those things that Thou hast written in Thy book. May our eyes be lifted up to a world beyond this confused and chaotic world that's headed for judgment. May we, by the eyes of faith, get a glimpse of that beautiful and wonderful city that lieth foursquare, our eternal home, our heaven, our place with Thee. And, dear God, if there would be any here tonight who are not ready to move into that wonderful city, oh, how we pray that they might, by faith, turn everything over to Jesus, be born into Thy family, and be ready for this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophrasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Well, what can we say? How shall we begin? Where shall we find a place to end in discoursing on God's heavenly city? Now, may I say in the beginning that I believe that the New Jerusalem, the holy city Jerusalem, is a literal city. I am personally given to the idea that these things that are described here in this chapter about this city are real, are true, are meaningful, are for us to enjoy, to see, to know, to experience, to live in, to be a part of. I believe then that the city is a literal city. We have already been introduced to the messenger. He was one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Those awful, terrible, horrible judgments that were poured out angel by angel, vial by vial, bowl by bowl upon the earth. You remember that last one? There was a mighty earthquake, and hailstones fell from the sky that weighed no less than 96 pounds apiece. Oh, when I think about that, I'm glad tonight that I am in the ark of safety. I have found a hiding place. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Thank God there is a hiding place. There is a place of safety for the child of God. One of these angels who knew of the wrath of Almighty God comes to John the seer, John the prophet, John the beloved apostle on the Isle of Patmos, and talked with him and said, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me, John says, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And notice that next statement, simply but profoundly put, having the glory of God. The indescribable glory of God. Who can describe the majesty of Almighty God? You remember that Moses on one occasion was told by God to hide himself in the cleft of the rock. And God said, "I will pass by you, and I will cover you with my hand. And when I have passed by, you shall see my hind part, for no man can look on my glory and live." When Moses came down off Mount Sinai, where he had been for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible tells us that his face did shine. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, I read in the Bible that his face did shine brighter than the noonday sun. I see the Apostle Paul making his way drudgingly toward the city of Damascus up in Syria, having in his possession the authority to bind and cast in prison everyone who called upon the name of Jesus. But Paul had not long gone out of the city of Jerusalem through the Damascus gate until all of a sudden there was a voice from heaven, and there was a glorious light that was brighter than the Syrian sun. And Paul fell on his face, and the scales of blindness were on his eyes. And then when Paul described it, after having been led about by the hands of those who did not see it, Paul said he was brighter than the noonday sun. How shall I, mortal man, how shall I with finite thinking, how shall I with limited vocabulary begin to describe the glory of God? John simply said, the new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, had the glory of God. And the light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, the brightness of the glory of God. And John talks in verse 12 about a great high wall that had 12 gates. And that these gates severally were made of one pearl. Why is that said? Why is it so significant that John pinpoints the fact that the gates were made of pearl? I think I have the answer. Remember, there were three gates on the south, there were three gates on the north, there were three gates on the east, and three on the west. 3 × 4, 12. At each one of these gates that were never closed, isn't that an amazing thing? Why should they be closed? There's no evil to shut out. Why should they be closed? No one wants to escape the majesty and glory of God. And does that not speak to us that in this hour there is an open door, there is an open gate, there is an open way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is it so emphasized that these gates are made of pearl? I think I have the answer. Pearl can be made only through suffering. Here is a grain of sand. Here is an oyster. The grain of sand finds its way, if you please, into the side of the oyster. And that little grain of sand inflicts an injury in the side of the oyster. And to cover that wound, the oyster secretes certain chemicals from its body. And the flesh of the oyster and the substance of the oyster, with a wound in its side, works itself and polishes and refines and polishes and makes a beautiful pearl. It is a great deal of suffering to the oyster. When I turn in the gospel story, I read that they hanged him upon a cross. I read that they took a sword and that they thrust that sword into his side. And forthwith, from the suffering, bleeding, side of my Savior, there comes forth a fountain of life. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The only way of salvation is through suffering. On the cross, a riven side, a torn body, much suffering to bring about your salvation and mine. Gates of pearl, yes, there they are. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on these foundations were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. On every gate, the name of one of the tribes of Israel. There is not another nation in all of God's economy that's had the place that Israel has had. 12 names, one on every gate around that city of the tribes of the nation Israel. And on the foundation, 12 foundations, the name of one of all 12 of the apostles of the Lamb. 12 plus 12, 24. 12 of the old economy, 12 of the new economy. 12 of the Old Testament, 12 of the new. Chapter 4, John said, "And I saw the elders, 24 elders seated on thrones." That symbolizes all of the redeemed of both covenants, of both dispensations, of both eras, of both periods, of both testaments, old and new. Here they are with their names inscribed upon the gates and upon the foundations of the wall. And there was a measurement of the city. And verse 16 says, "The city lieth four square. It's just as long as it is broad, and just as broad as it is high. And these furlongs," John said, when he measured that, when the angel measured, there were 12,000 furlongs. The Greek word is stadia, 1/8 of a mile. That means that the city would be 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles this way and that way and up that way. Imagine 1,500 miles square. A cube as long as it is broad, as high as it is broad and long. 1,500 miles in every direction. And the walls 250 feet high. All of these gates, all of these foundations. And John says, the building of the wall was of jasper. And that word jasper means diamond. A pure diamond. There is nothing more sparkling. There is nothing more beautiful. There is nothing more enduring. There is nothing more lasting than diamond. You know, on the runways where the big jet planes take off and land, they have just of late gone with instruments and cut grooves across the runways to create more friction so when the big jets put down on that ground, they can stop in a shorter distance. Our freeways have the same thing for friction purposes. I don't know what they cut the freeways with, but I read just yesterday, coming back from Detroit, I read in an airline magazine that they could find nothing that was hard enough to cut that concrete except diamonds. So they just made them some saws out of diamonds. And they go across the runway, cutting the runway with pure diamonds. I'd like to be around to pick up the chips. But there it is. A city whose walls are pure diamond, sparkling as clear as glass. and all of these precious stones. You know God loves color. God loves beauty. God loves order. There's nothing disorderly about this city. There's nothing out of balance about this city. There's nothing that's unmeasured about this city. There is nothing dirty about this city. No dust, no ashes, no fumes, nothing. It's all beautiful and holy and perfect and balanced and measured and orderly. You know, that kind of suggests to me that that's the way our lives ought to be. And that's the way our homes ought to be. And that's the way our churches ought to be. And that's the way our businesses ought to be. And that's the way we ought to strive to do everything in beauty to the honor and glory of God. Did you see the sunset tonight? My, wasn't that a beautiful thing? Now, what on earth? There is no earthly use for sunset. You can't plow it. You can't water it. You can't plant it. You can't dig it up. You can't mine anything out of it. It's just there. Why? Because God loves beauty. And beauty reflects His glory. That's why He wants us to be beautiful Christians. And beauty is not that just which is seen on the outside. Beauty comes from within. Beauty is deep-seated. Why, some of the ugliest people you'll ever see are sometimes the most beautiful, because they radiate something from within. That's the kind of beauty I'm talking about. And that reflects the glory and the beauty of God. You know what? If we're living the kind of lives we ought to on earth, it won't take us long to get adjusted to heaven. You ever think about that? Why, for some people, I'm afraid it's going to be a terrible adjustment. But if we're living here upon this earth like we're supposed to, walking after obeying the Lord Jesus, letting the light of His glory shine through our lives, it won't be such a hard adjustment when we get to heaven. All of these precious stones of beauty and the streets of gold, can you imagine it? Why, about the only gold that most of us have is what the dentist puts in our head. But the streets, can you imagine? Can you conceive of the idea of walking on streets of gold? You don't really believe that's literal gold, do you, preacher? I do. I do. I do. I do. The book says so. That's all I've got to go by. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. The streets of pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple." There'll be no rites, and there'll be no ceremonies, and there'll be no institutions of this and that and the other, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And verse 23 says, "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the nations of them which are saved, these great Gentile nations that are converted, shall walk in the light of that city, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and their honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day." And I like that next statement. "For there shall be no night there." You know, at night everything seems to be worse. If you've got a toothache, it always hurts worse at night. If you've got fever, it's always worse at night. If you've got intense pain, it's always worse at night. How many times have you stood by the form of a precious loved one? Somebody's mopping the brow. Somebody's putting a little water on the lips. Somebody's checking the pulse. And somebody says, "If we can only pull him through the night, if we can only pull him through the night. How many times have you had worries and burdens and problems that seem to be heavier at night than any other time? And you have longed for the breaking of the day? My friends, I'm telling you tonight that we are going to be one day in a city where there shall be no night, no darkness, nothing fearful, nothing to hurt or destroy in all the earth. You know, men do their dastardly deeds at night. Night is a dreadful time when things are going wrong, but there shall be no night there. There shall not enter into that city anything that worketh abomination or maketh a lie or that defileth, but only they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And John said, besides all that, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it and on either side, there was the tree of life. Have you ever seen a tree that bears 12 different types of fruit every month? One of these days, if you want a banana, just reach up and get it. If you want an orange, reach up and get it. If you want an apple, reach up and get it. And don't worry about it being replenished, for it's going to bear fruit every month. 12 months, all the time. Perennial fruit bearing, just all the time. All you want, help yourself. When I was a kid, I never thought I'd get enough bananas. I was worse than any monkey you ever saw about bananas. I loved bananas. And you know when you go to the grocery store and buy a handful and you got 8 or 10 kids to go around, you just don't get many bananas. But one of these days, I'm going to get all bananas I want. And think about it. I won't have indigestion. Nearly every time I eat them, I get indigestion. But I won't have any indigestion there because we saw this morning that there should be no pain there and no discomfort. I tell you, I get carried away when I begin to talk about my heavenly home, my eternal abiding place. I want to brag on it because I've never seen anything like this. I've never read anything like this. I've never heard anything like this. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't come to me with that business about, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I've got a mansion in the glory world. Oh, and it's not that beautiful Isle of Somewhere either. John said, I saw that holy city coming down out of the atmosphere to the earth, and here it is, and here we are, and a pure river of water of life. Never have to thirst anymore. Drink all you want to. It's there. It's pure. It comes from the very throne and seat of God. Uncontaminated. Isn't that amazing? Untouched by sinful hands. A pure river of water of life. And there shall be no more curse. We're living in a cursed world tonight. This whole system is cursed. But in that day, there shall be no more curse. And I don't believe there'll be any more cursing either. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And somebody said, well, do you suppose we're going to get bored in heaven? No, I don't believe so. The next part of that verse 3 says, and his servants shall serve him. Oh, we'll have the joy of serving him. We won't have to look at those same old cards on Tuesday night and say, well, I wish I had stayed at home. We won't have to worry about all the absentees. There won't be any absentees there. They'll all be present. Everybody that's going to be present is present. Like I heard a fellow say one time, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you ain't, you ain't. That's just all there is to it. If you're there, you're there. If you're redeemed, you're redeemed. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're in heaven, you're in heaven. No absentees. But working, laboring, serving, and yet it's an eternal rest. That's the most amazing thing I ever read. Servants serve him, and yet Paul says in Hebrews, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Can you imagine stepping on the shore and finding it heaven? Can you visualize putting your hand in somebody's hand and it's God's hand? Can you imagine feeling invigorating and knowing its immortality? Can you imagine just looking around and everything is beautiful and holy and righteous and clean and sparkling and pure and reflecting the glory of God? And they shall see his face. God said to Moses, nobody's ever looked on my face and lived. But you know, there it's going to be a face to face, eternal. We'll be like him. We can look him face to face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And again, John says, just in case somebody misunderstood it, there shall be no night there. And they shall need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the Greek says, in the ages of ages, unending, unfathomable, unmeasurable, uncountable, all of the ages of ages, we shall reign. My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. Let others seek a home below where flames devour and waves o'erflow. Be mine a happier lot to own, a heavenly mansion near the throne. I'm going home to die no more. To die no more. To die no more. I'm going home to die no more. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe this weeping eye. I'm going home to die no more. God's heavenly city. Are you ready to go? Let's stand for our prayer. Father, tonight we truly thank thee for that wonderful city. No disease, no pain, no suffering, no heartache, no disappointment, no death, no burial, no crying, nothing to defile, to destroy, to hinder, to cause any discomfort, but all shall be glory in that day. Dear Lord Jesus, we don't know the hearts of this people. Thou knowest. I pray tonight, if there be one soul here who has never trusted the Savior, may that one come to trust him tonight. If there be those, Heavenly Father, who need a closer walk with thee through prayer and surrender of their lives, may they come tonight. If there be those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home, may they come and unite with the fellowship of this church. Dear God, we just present the whole congregation to thee, individually and collectively, one and all, and ask thy will to be done in every heart and in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 347. If indeed you're out there tonight, And when we've talked about this beautiful, wonderful, literal, holy, righteous, perfect city, heaven, coming down out of God, out of heaven from God, out of the atmosphere, right here to this earth, and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to live in that city. I've never trusted the Savior. I've never been born again. I've never had that experience." I wonder if you'd just step out tonight and say, "Preacher, I want that experience. I want that hope. I want that home. I want that future. I want that for myself personally, individually." I wonder if you'd like to step out tonight and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want my heart right with God. I want to experience the new birth. I want to trust Christ as my own personal Savior. I want you to come." If you're out there tonight and you are already a Christian, but in your heart there is a need, there is a longing, there is an emptiness, there's a void, there's a vacancy, there's a burden, the best place I know to get help and relief is at an altar that stretches from here to eternity. If you're out there tonight and you need a church home, the doorway of this church is open by letter from another Baptist church or by baptism from another denomination. I want you to come. Whatever your need is, I can assure you on the authority of this word that God is able to meet it. We're going to sing. We invite you, we appeal to you to make whatever decision, whatever move that God would have you to make tonight while we sing together. Will you come?